Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we crack open the most complex research reports and articles and really extract the knowledge that matters so you can be instantly well-informed. Today, we're tackling something that sounds, well, maybe a little administrative, but it's actually crucial to how modern organizations work: staffing. Specifically, we're going to try to move past that, you know, that old stereotype of the temp agency.
The panic call.
Exactly, the panic call. We're diving deep into what are now called staffing solutions agencies and SSAs, and how they're becoming really workforce stabilizers. Our sources give us this incredibly detailed look at how they function, not as just, you know, vendors, but as real operational partners. So yeah. Our mission is to figure out why a big company, one that already has a great HR department, would choose to outsource something so critical.
And it's a great question. The material really clarifies this core tension that, you know, almost every business is facing today. Huh. How do you guarantee your output is consistent when literally everything else isn't? Demand, supply chains, even just labor availability, it's all volatile. You need some kind of shock absorber. In the past, a big order meant what? Scrambling, huge overtime costs, or maybe you just had to say no to the business. This stabilizer model, it offers a way to handle that. It converts an unpredictable mess into a, well, a predictable cost.
Okay, let's start right there with that fundamental distinction, because if you just think these are headhunters, you're going to miss the entire point. Traditional recruitment, like the sources say, it's a relay race. It ends. The process is over the second the candidate signs the offer.
Right. It's the difference between buying a single spare part versus, I don't know, investing in a whole fleet maintenance system. One is a transaction.
And the other?
The other is about managing workforce capacity as a system, a continuous function. That is the critical separation right there.
So if the SSA's role continues, what exactly are they managing that my internal HR team isn't? It sounds a little like an operational takeover.
Hmm. Well, they're managing the whole life cycle. They take on responsibility for onboarding, all the payroll, compliance, performance monitoring, and maybe most importantly, replacement coverage. So the central insight really is that the SSA is built to absorb the volatility. The risk of someone quitting or a no-show or even just a paperwork error, they manage that risk with their scale.
And that frees up the company's core teams.
Exactly. It shields them. They can focus on the actual business instead of constantly getting pulled into hiring delays and administrative churn.
So it's not just filling a role. It's about keeping the engine running at a steady RPM no matter what's happening outside.
That's a perfect way to put it. They guarantee the rate of output.
Which brings us to the why, the rationale. The cynical take is always that big companies are just chasing the lowest possible hourly wage, that it's purely a cost-cutting move.
And the sources just completely argue against that. They really do.
They really dispute it.
Yeah. I mean, efficiency is a factor, of course, but the real strategic drivers are risk management, speed, and continuity. Just think about your typical internal hiring process. It's slow. It's got long lead times, budget approvals, interviews. All of that creates this inertia.
And that inertia can be deadly when the market suddenly shifts. So how does an SSA actually compress that timeline? What are they cutting out?
They cut out the administrative backlog. Internal HR, for the most part, starts from scratch with every single hire.
Right.
But SSAs, they have these ready-made labor pools, and their deployment process is standardized. All the paperwork, the basic checks, that's often done before a worker is even matched with a client. So let's say a factory gets a 40% spike in orders, or I don't know, a new regulation means you have to staff up a compliance team immediately.
And the internal system would just seize up.
It would. But the SSA has the pipeline. They have the system. They can restore that operational balance in a few days, not weeks. And they do it without forcing the whole company to just stop and process 50 new hires.
It seems like what the organization is really doing is it's externalizing the stress of scaling up quickly.
That is the key. They offload the stress, they shift the time burden and all the financial penalties that come with hiring delays onto a partner that's built for it.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting. It's not just one model. Organizations use these blended approaches. Our sources lay out four common types.
And we should really look at these as points on a spectrum of how labor risk is distributed.
Okay, break that down for us.
So at one end, you've got temporary staffing. This is the classic model. Short-term labor for, you know, seasonal demand or covering for someone who is out sick. The agency takes on almost all the risk, the compliance, the liability, all of it.
Okay, simple enough. Then there's temp to hire, which sounds like a very long audition.
It is exactly that. It's an extended evaluation. Here, the risk is a bit more shared. The agency still carries the initial employment risk, but the client is investing time to evaluate that person with the goal of hiring them directly. Then you have contract staffing. This is more for high skill roles. Think IT specialists, engineers, that sort of thing. They're brought in for a specific project.
So the risk there is about getting the right skills for a defined scope.
Precisely. And finally, the deepest model is managed staffing.
What does that look like?
This is where the agency manages an entire function or department. They might handle shift scheduling, performance management, everything. The client gives up direct control, but in return, they get guaranteed capacity and offload almost all of the regulatory risk. So the question across all four is, how much risk are you moving off your own books?
Let's dig into that administrative load for a second, because for a company that operates in, say, multiple states, just keeping up with employment laws and taxes is a huge job.
It's more than a job. It's a massive source of exposure, a risk. The SSAs act as a kind of regulatory buffer. They handle the details, work eligibility, payroll taxes, workers' comp, safety training.
So you're basically outsourcing the risk of getting fined for non-compliance.
You are. And this is where that speed and compliance really come together. When you compare SSA onboarding to internal, the difference is just. It's night and day. Internal processes can be all over the place.
The dreaded stack of papers on day one that takes hours to get through.
That's it. The SSA process is designed for high volume, repeatable speed. Documentation is centralized, it's digital, and it's often done before the worker even arrives.
Which means the time to get someone productive is not just short, it's predictable.
Highly predictable. You get excellent ramp-up consistency. You know almost exactly how many productive hours you're going to get and when.
And that predictability directly tackles operational downtime.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think of downtime as, you know, a machine break. But in so many industries, logistics, manufacturing, healthcare, downtime is a labor problem. Someone quits, someone doesn't show up.
And that leads to maybe the core operational promise they make, which is workforce replacement. This is fundamental. If a worker leaves or underperforms, the agency is contractually obligated to provide a replacement within a very short time frame, often hours.
Not days.
Hours, not days. And that is priceless because it means your own managers aren't suddenly pulled into an emergency hiring scramble. The operation keeps moving.
Okay, that continuity sounds great, but let's play skeptic for a moment. The old image of temp work is high turnover, low quality. If SSAs are stabilizers, how are they actually dealing with retention?
That's a fair point, and it's a perception they're constantly fighting. But for a good agency, high turnover is actually incredibly expensive for them.
Because they can't meet their promise to the client.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the effective ones manage retention very actively. They work on better role matching, making sure schedules are stable. They have their own quality control systems.
Give us an example. What's a QC mechanism we might not think about?
Performance feedback loops. They're critical. They don't just place someone and walk away. They monitor attendance. They get feedback from supervisors on site. They do their own check-ins. This constant monitoring means if there's an issue, they can intervene or replace before it hurts the client's output.
Okay, let's shift to the long-term, more strategic view. The sources argue these agencies are moving from just filling gaps to being real partners in growth.
That's right. And there are two big benefits here: scalability and cost predictability.
Let's start with scalability.
Growth is always uncertain, right? If you overhire, your fixed costs explode and you might face layoffs. If you underhire, you can't meet demand.
You leave money on the table.
You do. SSAs let you scale up incrementally. You match your labor growth to actual proven demand. It's a much more disciplined way to expand without taking on all that fixed financial risk up front.
Which avoids that big financial drag from overhiring. Now let's go back to the money. The bill rate from an agency might look higher than a direct wage. How does that improve cost predictability?
Because that single rate bundles all the messy, unpredictable costs together. Think about it. The cost to recruit someone, the HR time for onboarding, all the legal overhead, and the really killer cost, turnover.
Which is always higher than people think.
It's devastating. The SA takes all those variables and converts them into one fixed manageable number. That stability makes budgeting way more accurate and helps you avoid those sudden, painful financial hits.
What's really fascinating here is the difference between types of agencies. It's not a monolith.
Not at all. You have generalist agencies on one side. They're all about volume and speed. Great for high turnover roles where you just need bodies and seats, like in a large warehouse.
I'm on the other end.
Specialized agencies. They focus on a specific industry tech, healthcare, regulated manufacturing. They prioritize precision and deep industry knowledge. Their value is reducing friction. For a company with zero tolerance for error, like a biotech lab, these partners are invaluable. They deliver competence on day one.
And we see that reliance in sectors like manufacturing, logistics, energy, places where any labor instability is a direct threat to output or even safety.
Absolutely.
So when these organizations are trying to figure out if an agency is a true partner or just a vendor, what are they looking at?
The sources point to five things consistently. Deployment speed first. Then candidate quality, compliance strength, communication, and finally that replacement coverage we talked about. An agency that nails all five is a strategic partner.
So to wrap this up, if we connect this all back to the bigger picture, the role of these agencies has really changed.
It's a fundamental shift, yeah. From being reactive gap fillers to proactive strategy partners, we're seeing organizations use them to test a new labor market before they build a factory or to stabilize things during a big internal tech upgrade. The agency has really become part of the entire workforce planning ecosystem. And what's really striking is that their data, their insights into local labor availability, turnover trends, that's now being used to inform high-level business decisions. It's way beyond just filling jobs now.
So what does this all mean for you? It means when you look at a company, its real labor capacity goes way beyond just the full-time employees on an org chart. The smart ones are converting labor risk into a manageable service. The question isn't if you use stabilizers anymore, but how well you integrate their insights into your strategy. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you'll think about the difference between just filling jobs and true workforce stabilization in the organizations you follow. We'll talk to you next time.